Turn please to the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2. Habakkuk, the second chapter, page 956 in your Scofield Bible. Habakkuk. The book is Habakkuk, chapter 2. First four verses, we'll read the verses responsively, verses 1 through 4. Shall we stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God? I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, Write the vision, and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which he lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. That fourth verse is the text verse for this evening's message. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful evening service. We thank you for 6 o'clock hour. What an inspiration and blessing. Thank you for our ministries, the various things that go on here to make this the great church that it is. But so much of it has to do with the evening service. And we thank you for this another evening service, one by which each of us can profit if we'll but listen and take to heart the things that thou hast given our preacher to give to us. Bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
There's an announcement I must make. Someone has to leave because of an emergency, and their car is blocked in. There's an Illinois license plate 24649. I don't know what this is. It's got a P above a V or something. It needs to be moved, blocking a vehicle that needs to leave. It's in the gravel parking lot. I guess that's back here. It's Illinois license 24649, either D or V or P or something. And during the prayer, if you'd move it, someone needs to leave because of an emergency and they're being blocked in. I do not know when I preached a sermon that the subject of which warms my heart as much as the one I'm going to preach tonight. It will not include the humor that the one this morning included, because I am afraid to pursue such a course again. But I do want you to listen. It's not what you call a bombastic sermon. It's not a dynamic sermon. But I do not know of a truth that has blessed me any more than the one I'm going to preach to you. I'm going to speak tonight on the subject, God believes in you. And so do I. God believes in you. And I'm not talking about some of you. I'm talking about every one of you. God believes in you, and so do I. Our Heavenly Father, help me tonight to transfer the warmth that I feel in my own heart to the hearts of our people. And I pray tonight that you'd help me to be able to present this truth in such a way that we'll decide never to disappoint God or to disappoint those who believe in us. Speak to our hearts tonight sweetly, gently, and yet powerfully. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you know whom I admire very much in the Bible? A man who's not one of the bright lights in the Bible. He's not one of the 12 apostles, nor is he someone that wrote or penned one of the books of the Bible, nor is he someone that was a part of the ministry of Jesus Christ, as far as I know. But I admire tremendously a man named Barnabas in the Bible. Let me tell you why I admire Barnabas so very much. I want to talk to you first about what he meant to Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus, the man who changed the world, the man whose life affected you. You wouldn't even be here tonight had it been for Saul of Tarsus. The man who brought the gospel to the Western world, the man who brought the gospel to Europe, and from Europe it came here. And but let me tell you about the effect of Barnabas on Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul, if you please. Saul of Tarsus was a Pharisee. He was breathing out threatenings against the Christian people, and even threatened to slaughter them, and no doubt did, in some cases, murder God's people. He did it religiously, by the way. He did not do it because he thought it was evil. He did it because he thought it was right. And he would breathe out, as a Pharisee, he would breathe out threatenings against the people of God, and no doubt had murdered Christian people. Don't leave me now. He was going to Damascus to do the same thing, and on the road to Damascus, you know the story, he had all of a sudden this amazing vision. He looked up, and a light shone round about him, and the voice from heaven said, "Saul, Saul, why do you fight against the pricks, if you please?" And the apostle, or Saul, said, "Who art thou, Lord?" Boy, I love that. That's one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" Didn't know who he was, but he said, "I'm signing up." He said, "You got me. Anybody do this to me, I'm yours. You're my Lord. I'll follow you the rest of my life. And by the way, anybody that do to you what God has done for you, you ought to be the same like the Apostle Paul." He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" After the Lord had said it is hard to be the kick against the pricks. And Jesus said, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest." And wait a minute there. Paul didn't persecute Jesus, but he persecuted God's people. And Jesus said, "Inasmuch as you've done it one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me." When you gossip against the child of God, you're gossiping against Jesus Christ. When you try to hurt a child of God, you're hurting Jesus Christ. For the Bible said, "Inasmuch as you do it to his children, you're doing it unto him." And so he said, "I'm Jesus whom thou persecuted." And Paul said, I love this, "Lord, what would thou have me to do?" Man, he just got saved and already wanted to do something, already wanted to sign up. He had a bus route before he'd been saved, 10 minutes, if you please. I like that. He said, "Who art thou?" And then he said, "What would you have me do?" I call that the hoodoo. Who art thou, and what would you have me do? And that, of course, that marvelous conversion changed the life of the Apostle Paul. He was saved. He got baptized immediately. The Bible says soon he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He started preaching in synagogues, and here's what he would do. He would go to a synagogue. You see, he was a Pharisee, and he was welcome in the synagogues because he was a big shot. He'd go to the synagogue and they'd have a service there, and Saul would say, I'd like to tell you something. He said, "You know, we'll study the Old Testament. Let's study Isaiah 53. I just met the person Isaiah 53 is talking about. Saw him on the Damascus Road." Well, that irritated the Jews, of course, because they did not believe in Jesus of Nazareth, and they tried to kill him. Are you listening to me? They tried to kill him. And they watched the gates day and night to kill the Apostle Paul, but some let him down by the city wall in a basket, and his life was saved. Now, wait a minute. Don't leave me. Then he goes to Jerusalem. When he goes to Jerusalem, the Christians there were afraid of him. Don't you think that's pretty normal? I mean, let's suppose a guy had been killing Christians in our area, and all of a sudden he walks in and says, "I want to preach for you." I'd say, "Hold it, hold it, wait a minute there. You're not going to preach here," because they were afraid that Saul had come to kill them. So the Christians were afraid of him. They did not even believe he was saved. They doubted his salvation. Enter my hero, Barnabas. Barnabas believed in him. He believed in him. And Barnabas stood with him and said to the people, "You listen to this fella." If Barnabas had not believed in the Apostle Paul, or we call him that, he was Saul of Tarsus then, you might be on your way to hell tonight. But thank God that Barnabas believed in this new convert, and that because of that, the gospel was taken to the Western world. That isn't all. John Mark was a nephew of Barnabas. When the Apostle Paul went on his first missionary journey, he took John Mark with him, and he took Barnabas with him. And they went to Cyprus, and up to Pamphylia, and up to Antioch and Pisidia, and then up to Derbe and Lystra, other places. And then they went back home and came back for the to report to the church and to tell the church about the first journey. After a season, they went on the second missionary journey. And Barnabas said, okay, it's time for us to leave. And Paul, you and John Mark, come on. And Paul said, no, John Mark is not going to go. And Barnabas said, why isn't John Mark going to go? And Paul said, don't you know that John Mark turned back in Pamphylia and didn't accompany us on the journey? Now, why John Mark turned back, I do not know. Maybe it was fear of the beast in the area and the wild animals there in that area. Or maybe he was homesick. He was just a young man. Maybe he was homesick. I don't know. But he turned back. Don't leave me now. And so the Apostle Paul said, we're not going to take John Mark this time. He turned back the first time. Barnabas said, oh, yes, we are. And Paul said, oh, no, we're not. And Barnabas said, oh, yes, we are. And Paul said, oh, no, we're not. And these two stubborn Baptist preachers were fussing each other. And Baptist preachers have been fussing each other ever since that day. And but they did not take John Mark. Now, hear me carefully. Barnabas did not go with Paul because Paul would not take John Mark. So Barnabas took John Mark on a journey, missionary journey, and Paul substituted Silas for Barnabas, and Paul and Silas went on the second missionary journey, joined later on by Dr. Luke on that same journey. Now, wait a minute. Barnabas was right. Now, I think the Apostle Paul certainly had a good argument, but Barnabas was right in the fact that he believed in John Mark. He believed in him. Just because a fellow makes a mistake doesn't mean you ought not to believe in him. And he believed in John Mark. Now here's Barnabas. We would not have had the great Apostle Paul had it not been that Barnabas believed in him. And we would not have had the great John, great Mark, one of the 12 apostles, the one who penned the second of the Gospels, the Gospel of Mark. And these two great men, his belief, get this now, his belief in these two men changed the course of Christianity and civilization and caused millions, including you and me, to be saved. Every successful person owes his success to someone who believed in him. I've said this often. I believe every young person would turn out right if he was convinced that someone genuinely loved him and believed in him. Moses believed in Joshua. And Joshua became the great leader of Israel that he was. J. Wilbur Chapman was an evangelist. He had a young man who was his tent man. I mean, he'd drive the tent pegs in and set up the tent and take the tent down and put the chairs in and put the pulpit up and build the choir. And he had a young man. His name was Billy Sunday. J. Wilbur Chapman went into the pastorate, and he believed in Billy Sunday. And because J. Wilbur Chapman believed in Billy Sunday, we had the great revivals that Billy Sunday led, and America was influenced and affected and even changed because of it. Dr. G.B. Vick, pastor at one time of the largest church in America, he was a young man. He was a businessman in the church in Fort Worth, Texas, the First Baptist Church of Fort Worth, Texas. Dr. J. Frank Norris believed in him, and because he did, he gave him his first chance. And Dr. Vick became one of the great preachers and leaders of our day. Dr. John R. Rice believed in a young preacher that is named Jack Hiles. And I owe tonight much of my ministry around the world to the fact that a nationally known, yea, world-renowned preacher believed in me when I was a young man. I'll say it again. Every successful person got his start because somebody believed in him. My mama believed in me. My Sunday school teacher, Proctor Boyd, who influenced me tremendously when I was a teenager. I drifted a little bit. I did not go into what we'd call deep sin, but I drifted. I was not as fervent as I had been. And Proctor Boyd, my Sunday school teacher, said to me one day, Jack, I believe in you. Now listen, hundreds of people would have made it if someone believed in them. Let me say this. I believe in you. I believe in you. I believe, and I want to be very personal now, and nobody's going to know who I'm talking about except maybe a family member. I believe that little girl who is stealing, with whom I've been counseling recently, I believe in her. And I believe she's going to quit stealing. That young high school lad with whom I've been counseling some, who's lying. I believe in him. And I believe that young high school lad is going to quit lying. I'm talking about that junior high pal of mine who's drifting, who's getting demerits up close to expulsion and almost has been expelled, whom I love dearly. I believe that junior high lad is going to come back, a comeback, and make us proud of him one of these days. I'm simply saying, I believe in you. I believe in that teenager who was expelled from Hammond Baptist School, High School. I believe in you, teenager. You know who I'm talking about. Nobody else does, except maybe your parents. But I believe in you. And I believe you're going to come back. And I believe you're going to make us proud of you. I am not going to give up on any of you. I believe in you. And just as the Apostle Paul, just as Barnabas believed in the Apostle Paul, and Barnabas believed in John Mark, and John Rice believed in Jack Hiles, and J. Frank Norris believed in G.B. Vick, and J. Wilbur Chapman believed in Billy Sunday, and Moses believed in Joshua. I believe in you. I believe every Hiles Anderson College student here is going to turn out right. For those of you that are in trouble, I believe in you. That couple having marital problems, and they're now separated. I believe in you, and I believe you'll get back together someday. I've got to do that, ladies and gentlemen. I believe they'll get back together. That man who is away from God, he knows who I'm talking about. I've talked to you again and again and again. Tonight, he's in the service. Nobody but his wife will know I'm talking about him. But that man who's wandered from God, I believe in you. I believe you're going to come back. I believe once again you're going to be a great soul winner, a Sunday school teacher, a deacon, or a bus captain. I believe in you. And I want to say tonight, I believe in that college boy who's breaking his parents' hearts. That college boy whose parents sit here tonight with a broken heart because their dreams have been shattered and their plans have been foiled. I believe in you. And I believe, fellow, I believe you're going to come back. I believe you're going to make us proud of you again. And you're looking at a preacher that's not going to give up on you. I'm going to keep on believing, keep on preaching, keep on hoping, and keep on praying because I believe that you're going to make us proud of you one of these days. I believe in my people. I believe in your love. I believe in your loyalty. I believe in your dedication. I believe in my staff. I believe I have the greatest staff on the face of the earth. I believe in the people who work on our staff. I believe in my deacons, 93 of the best men that ever lived. I believe in my deacons. I believe in our teenagers. Oh, I know they break your heart, some of them, you think they're going to end up in the penitentiary? No, sir. Bless God. They're going to end up as preachers and deacons and Sunday school teachers and bus workers and godly people. I believe in our teenagers. Brother Eddie, I believe in them tonight. And you believe in them. And kids, you have somebody who believes in you. It was the fact that the Apostle Paul had somebody who believed in him. Parents, don't give up on your kids. Believe in them. Your children need a mom and dad who believe in them. Oh, they may break your heart and disappoint you, but believe in them. I believe in our mission, men. I believe you guys are going to make us proud. And by the way, let me say a word about you guys. You owe a debt to these men, the fact that you had a place to park today. And these men worked almost all night, right? Of course, you were sleeping all night, but they're working all night. But almost all night. I believe in you guys. I believe you guys are going to stay sober. I believe you're going to stay serving God. I think you're going to make us proud of you. I believe in you bus kids. I believe in every one of you. I believe one of these days you're going to make us proud. And I was driving home today from church, and I saw a license plate on the back of a car. It said Bus Kid 1. Bus Kid 1. I believe in every bus kid who's here tonight, and I believe the day is going to come when you're going to be glad we had the bus ministry and proud of you, and nobody believes in you more than your preacher does. I believe in you college students. I believe in you. I believe in those of you that are good students and those that are bad students. I think those of you that are making us unhappy right now will make us happy someday. I think young preachers right now in college are breaking the rules and just barely getting by. I believe one of these days you'll stand behind a pulpit somewhere across America and be make us proud of you. I believe in you. Let me tell you something. Everybody needs somebody who says, I believe you're going to make it. You know why this man right here sitting here tonight, because this man right here believed in him. When he didn't believe in himself, he said, I can't pass Hiles Anderson College. I can't make it. I've got to quit. I said, you're not going to quit. God's going to use you. You're going to stay in there. He said, but I can't pass. I said, okay, then go and flunk. And that's what he did. But he went. Because there was a man behind this pulpit that believed in that man right there. And I still believe in that man right there. You know why this fellow right here is sitting right where he is tonight? Because there was a day when Dr. Jack Hiles believed in him. No longer is that true, but I did one time. I believed in him. And now the two greatest bus men in the world sit on this platform, and they wouldn't be there if I had not believed. I see that man right there. I believed in him. We didn't need a youth director. We had applications from all over America. But there was a young lad, how old were you? 21 years old. And the largest pastor of the largest church in America and the world's largest Sunday school believed in that man right there. And you know one reason why Ed Lapina is the great man of God he is right now? Because he didn't want to disappoint Dr. Jack Hiles. You know why that man right there is one of the greatest preachers and busmen in America? I'll tell you why. He did not want to disappoint Jack Hiles. You know why that man right there is a great servant of God and a great preacher? I'll tell you exactly why. Because he didn't want to disappoint Jack Hiles. I'm saying that Barnabas said, Saul, I believe in you. They may laugh at you. They may be afraid of you. They may not let you preach for them. But I'll use my influence to get you places to preach because I believe in you. And John Mark, I know you disappointed Paul on our first journey. Disappointed me too. But I still believe in you. And because of that, John Mark became the great John Mark that he was. And Paul became the greatest Christian who ever walked the face of the earth. Why? Because somebody believed it. Hey, quit getting down on people and believe that they're going to rise up again. You know why I'm sitting back there? Dr. Jeff Owen sits tonight. You know why? He's become one of the great men of God in America. And I could say that about many of these guys up here. But I believe in him. He knows I believe in him. And he wants me to believe in him. I'm telling you, I believe these men right here on this platform and those not on this platform are the greatest men of God in America today. I'll be the greatest preacher in this country sitting on this platform right now. Why? I believe in them. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe in them. I believe in our people. I believe in our staff. I believe in our deacons. I believe in our mission men. I believe in our college students. I believe in our bus kids. Now, listen carefully. Let me tell you of somebody else who believes in you. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. He believes in you. Let me prove it. Jesus knew Peter was backsliding. He knew it. But Jesus said, he'll come back. I believe in him. Jesus could see Peter's downfall. He could see him sliding away. But Jesus said, he'll come back. I believe in him. Yet, he believed in him. He saw him proud and overconfident. But Jesus said, he'll return to be humble again. I believe in him. Jesus saw him asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane when he should have been up and praying. But Jesus said, he'll pray again. I believe in him. Jesus saw him cutting off the ear of a soldier when he should not have done so. He was thwarting or trying to thwart the Calvary payment of Jesus Christ. But Jesus said, I believe he'll be a great man of God. I believe in him, and he'll come back. Jesus saw him following afar off. But he said he'll come back close because I believe in him. He saw him warning at the enemy's fire or the devil's fire. He saw Peter warming that fire. But he believed in him, and he said, he'll come back. He saw him deny the faith, deny the fact, the Bible, the faith. But Jesus said, he'll come back. I believe in him. He saw him deny the church and heard him deny the church. I don't belong to that church. I don't belong to that crowd. Let me tell you something tonight, brother. I belong to First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, and I'm proud I do. I'm a child of God, and I'm proud I'm a child of God. My name is written in heaven. I want the whole world to know about it. But Jesus saw Peter deny the faith and deny the church. But Jesus said, he'll come back. I believe in him. He heard him curse and swear. But he said, he'll use his tongue for my glory again. I believe in him. He even heard the voice of Peter deny the Savior himself. Aren't you with him? No. And he cursed and swore, I'm not with him. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus believed in him and believed he'd come back. Let me prove it to you. He said, Peter, get this now. When thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Didn't say if. Didn't say, Peter, if you ever get right, would you strengthen the brethren? He said, when you get right. Because he believed in him. I do not believe for a single moment that Peter would have stood on Pentecost and preached the greatest Pentecostal sermon if Jesus hadn't believed in him. Again he said, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. He believed in him. Now wait a minute. See that cussing, church denying, faith denying, Christ denying, impetuous, backslider, went back in the fishing business. See him on Pentecost. Hear him preach. See the crowd. Watch those people come to the altar. See those folks getting baptized. See angry men building a cross to crucify. And Peter said, don't put me on that cross like that. Turn it upside down because Jesus was crucified upright side up. I am not worthy to be crucified like he was. See him as he died on a cross turned upside down for Jesus. Why? Because Jesus believed in him. That's why. So Jesus also believes in you. If he believed in Peter, when Peter was away, he believes that you're coming back too. He believed that Peter would rise again. He believes that you will also rise again. If you believe that Peter would serve him again, he believes that you'll serve him again. If you believe that Peter would come back to preach, he believes that you will. He believes you preacher boys who decided God didn't call you to preach and you decided not to be a preacher. Jesus believes you'll preach again. Jesus believes that deacon, the ex-deacon, who's out in sin, will come back again. He believes in you. Thank God, he believes in you. If nobody else does, he does. But somebody else does. I do too. Jesus believes in you tonight. Don't let him down. Don't let him down. He believes in you. And may I say this? Don't let me down either, because I believe in you too. Young people, don't let this man down. He believes in you. College students, don't let this man down. He believes in you. I'm simply saying, don't let this man down. He believes in you bus people and you college people. Don't let this man down. He believes in his bus workers. Don't let this man down. He believes in the sailors. Don't let this man down. He believes in the junior high students. Don't let this man down. He believes in the young people in our schools. I'm trying to say, ladies and gentlemen, let's believe in each other. He's with the house. Are you trying to tell me that everybody here is going to turn out good? No, I'm not trying to tell you that. But I'm trying to tell you in any given case, I believe they are. Now, I say this in closing. Jesus believes in you tonight. He gave his life for you. I said he gave his life for you. Not only left heaven to come to earth and lived on earth 33 homesick years away from the Father, climbed the hill Golgotha and yielded himself as a lamb for the slaughter to be your substitute. He died for you and lived for you. Don't let him down. He believes. Don't disappoint him. He believes in you. And may I say this carefully. Don't disappoint me. I'm 72 years old. How long I have left, I don't know. But don't disappoint me. I didn't leave this church to build that high school out there for you kids to turn out bad. I didn't leave this church to build that college out there for you college students to turn out not to be in service for God. I believe in you. Don't disappoint me. And don't disappoint others who believe in you tonight. Son, said my mother, I believe in you. I know, son, that you're going to serve God. I believe in you. Thank you, Mama, for believing in me. Jack, said Proctor Boyd, I know you're not what you were maybe a few months ago. And Jack, I know you haven't done anything real bad, but you're just a little cold right now. But I want you to know, Jack, I believe in you. I didn't want to disappoint my mama. I didn't want to disappoint Proctor Boyd. And I didn't want to disappoint my Savior. He believes in me. He believes in you. Somebody believes in you. I'm saying tonight, God believes in you. And so do I. I wouldn't be here tonight if my mother hadn't believed in me. And Proctor Boyd hadn't believed in me. And John Rice and others had not believed in me. And I'm not going to let you kids go. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to keep on preaching and keep on hoping and keep on praying that every single one of you is in service for God. I'm not letting you preacher boys go that get in troubled houses and in college. I'm going to keep on preaching and keep on praying and keep on working. Why? I believe in you. And bless God, I believe every one of you is going to come back and serve God one of these days. Don't disappoint me. And don't disappoint Jesus. For God believes in you. And so do I. Would you bow your heads, please?